Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christians, God's judgment on this world is coming in fast. Are you ready? If that trumpet were to blow right now, would you be prepared? Because in today's reading, Jesus describes the very end of the world, that day when the sun and the moon will be darkened from the sky, the stars will fall from heaven, that day when everything on this earth will be shaken into the dust. Are you prepared for God to send his angels to gather the elect at his command? And it could be during this sermon. It could be next week. It could be in 1,000 years. But Christ makes one thing clear in Mark chapter 13, and that is that judgment is coming, and that we don't know when it will happen. But we are promised that that last day is coming soon. He clarifies that the day itself, the hour of judgment, is completely hidden from our knowledge. But the last thing that you really want to be when it does happen is unprepared. So for this reason, Jesus tells his disciples that this command to stay awake is for the whole world to hear. Christ is here giving a serious warning, not only to those who are already listening to him, but to every person who exists on this earth. Because if God's day comes and finds you unprepared, you are going to die with this world. If you have fallen asleep in spiritual lethargy, you will awake to the terror of a judge who comes in power and might to end everything evil. So as the clouds of God's judgment gather, how do you prepare yourselves to stay awake as per Jesus' command? Well, before we answer this question, we need to first be honest about the situation that we find ourselves in under this condition that we've inherited from Adam. This world has long been influenced by sin, which has allowed the devil to take control of what God had forsaken in his righteous judgment, and therefore Satan has continuously wreaked havoc on us through his lies, teaching even now that we have nothing to worry about except those things which we can provide for ourselves. And he gives this spiritual lethargy that's being addressed now by Jesus. And actually, here Jesus reveals just how unprepared even God's own people really are, even as he's there establishing his kingdom before their very eyes. Satan's power has pierced every aspect of our fallen humanity, but especially our reason, which has constantly even taught us that God doesn't even exist. Because God's word had been given to Israel. A covenant had been sealed between these people and their father. But Satan's distractions had constantly proved to be too much for them. Because we are sinful people. And many religious people today would beg for just one of those miracles that God had given to his prophets. But even this would not be enough to wake people up from their spiritual laziness. Because, in fact, the only reason that people want signs at all are because they are spiritually weak and blind to the real gifts that God has already given. But Jesus comes to establish a way from underneath Satan's foot. But even these miracles he worked in love brought him nowhere except the cross, to be murdered by the people who should have known his righteousness through the law that God had given them. And though God's law was given, the mere image of righteousness does nothing for people who could care less. People have ignored God's law, become apathetic to his means of grace. They've neglected the hope that God gives and ensures their own damnation through their spiritual apathy. So in Mark 13, Christ is addressing even those close to him, as well as everyone else in this world who continue even today to want a way that's different from the way Christ provides, the way of the cross. So we too ignore this promise that he will return in power and glory. But Jesus, however, is not showing us our ignorance of righteousness or our apathy towards judgment for no reason at all. Jesus is, in fact, teaching us something about these things to awaken us from this laziness and apathy that comes from the various worldly distractions, from Satan, from our fallen flesh, overall from sin. And this text for today is intended to shock you. It's intended to awaken you to the reality of your own sinfulness, but also it awakens our hearts to receive what Christ has come to establish. And he's come to establish a new covenant that awakens us by the Holy Spirit in true faith. This world would have us believe that the only things that we need to worry about are the visible problems, which we also continuously fail at fixing. Because while such things as violence and poverty, to name a few, are certainly problems that Christians are called to deal with, we often forget that Jesus has become an answer for even these issues too. But our enemy, however, would continue to distract us with these symptoms of sin, tricking us into thinking that we might be at least a little righteous because we might every now and then try to put a band-aid on a problem which is really much bigger than we want to realize. But these symptoms of sin have been used by our enemy to make us lethargic in recognizing our own spiritual lacking, and especially our own need to fix this source of sin that's inside of us. But this is another reason why Christ's teachings in the gospel are just so different. Because by teaching us about the destruction of this earth, we are at the same time being called to recognize the frivolity of everything that's contained by this realm. Jesus is painting a much bigger and clearer picture for us. He does so that we can find the one thing that addresses any and all problems that we might face in this life due to our Satan-induced condition. And Jesus reminds the world that this earth will certainly pass away. However, that doesn't mean he doesn't bring a refuge. He comes to provide a refuge from judgment, and he promises mankind that the Word of God will never pass away. Jesus' message at first seems shocking and terrifying, certainly, but Jesus speaks these words with love, because he is calling the lethargic hearts to repentance, that they might see him as their Savior, the Savior who will save them even from the very end of time. Jesus comes as the answer for every problem that a person can face in this life because Christ has come to destroy the real root of all evil, and that is original sin, which has given us our independence from God. Sin is what causes our hearts to fall asleep, even when God's word warns us constantly of the impending disaster. But now, Christ seeks to bring his light into our darkness and to awaken our sinful hearts to believe that he will certainly come again. He teaches us also why we have nothing to fear, so long as we realize our need for his life-giving covenant that restores our relationship with God, which is now established in Christ, the very Word of God who never passes away. He comes to bring us the shelter of his word, even while we struggle here against Satan and his forces, and we will until this world finally passes away. But Jesus' word of promise says that his word will not pass away, even though the heaven and the earth will. Christ's ministry establishes this everlasting word into the covenant, which is firmly founded on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How then are we to be brought into this word of God described in Mark 13? God's people have constantly been shown the way, even to the very first sinners, Adam and Eve. So how can we truly have awakened souls that are sheltered from hell, ready at any given moment for this earth to cave in, for that trumpet to blast? Let's look at Mark 13. Here Jesus is pointing to his eternal word as the only thing that will never pass away. But had Mark's message stopped there, we would still be left in the dark. We would still be confused about how it is that we can take refuge in this word. But when we look at chapter 14, immediately following, our way into this refuge becomes immediately clear. Take, this is my body. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. So immediately, this dire warning that Jesus has given in chapter 13 is starting to make a little bit more sense. Jesus was pointing us all along to see how even troubled hearts such as our own can find solace in the Word of God. No longer is Jesus' message vague or encrypted, because now he's awakened our soul with the preaching and the ministry that prepares us to receive the covenant of his sacraments, a covenant that physically puts God's word into you. Our troubled hearts still have trouble staying awake, as Peter would certainly make clear to us in his own denial of Christ. But this new covenant teaches us a way out of despair, because Peter betrayed Christ, and he certainly committed a horrible sin against God himself. And thus, that inevitably leads him into the fear of the consequences. Yet, Christ gives his promise of salvation. He provides a way for him to find communion with God once more. Peter is brought back into the fold. Peter's contrition was a recognition of sin, but it also led him to the forgiveness that is in Christ. But on the other hand, the hearts that are not awakened to faith in the Son of God, those are like Judas, whose worst sin of all was the sin of disbelief, and disbelief that even he could have received forgiveness for his betrayal of God. So as judgment approaches, we too become awakened to a new reality, that we must stop looking to ourselves for an answer to sin's symptoms, and instead simply receive what Christ establishes in his covenant of word and sacrament, the covenant of forgiveness of sins. Through Isaiah 51, God tells us, "The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed." So here we see the benefits of righteousness, the righteousness that God leaves with us through his covenant, established in his blood for the benefit of the entire world. Because we are invited by Christ's preaching to recognize him as our only refuge. We are called to recognize Jesus as this eternal salvation of Isaiah 51. God's salvation and righteousness are given to you through faith, which is rooted in your baptism. It's sustained in the Lord's Supper, but it's enlivened and initially awakened by the hearing of God's word. So therefore, God's promise of salvation from his final judgment is found nowhere but here in the church, where God's salvation is made available to you in the faith that he has now given. We don't know when Christ is going to come back, but we do know that those who find refuge here in the church will never be dismayed, because God has left his righteousness with his church. So therefore, those living in this Christian faith have no reason to fear the last day. In fact, we should fervently be looking forward to its coming, because Christ has awakened our hearts and given us a new nature altogether through holy baptism, which is also, ironically enough, the focus of Mark's conclusion in the 16th chapter. Jesus had spoken too of this fig tree, which brings forth tender branches as summer approaches, and not so because it actively works to make its branches tender to bear leaves, but because that's simply what fig trees do as fig trees. And the church, in a like manner, does not have to do anything to find itself in the righteousness of God, because God has made salvation and righteousness the natural essence of the church itself, the place where God has located his gifts of promise and faith. So just as this fig tree receives its leaves and indicates that summer is near, the Christian church receives God's gifts, and these teach us to trust that last day is certainly coming soon. God assures that his righteousness will never be dismayed, indicating that even now we have every reason to rejoice in these gifts of word and sacrament until he returns to gather the elect. So in conclusion, you who believe these words of Christ are the elect. You have received the salvation of God through your baptism, where our Heavenly Father has already numbered you among his chosen people. Jesus himself has established a new covenant in his blood that continues to sustain these very hopes. but it also awakens and drives us to bring others to this wonderful reality of righteousness that can be found nowhere else but here in the Christian church. Faith now drives our new nature, but faith also has been given to us by grace, and our righteousness has been made a part of us, not by any doing of our own. Our awakened hearts come only from this new nature given in word and sacrament. And it's this faith that will continuously bring forth the fruits. And it's these fruits that aim always to awaken the hearts of others as our Lord prepares for His return. And until that time, we continue to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.